Amen? And have you ever thought about this? That millions of songs, poems, have been written about one man and what he's done. We've got something to sing about. We've got something to shout about. We've got something to be glad about. Amen. I don't know of one song that's been written in the name of Allah. Amen. Allah never done nothing for you. There ain't one song sung about Muhammad. Amen. But there's a hundred millions of songs that's been written about the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. You know why? Because He's the only one that can help. He's the only one that can save. He's the only one that can change a life. And I'm looking at people tonight, every one of you that knows Jesus as your personal Savior. The Bible says, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things are become new. Isn't that a blessing? I'm telling you, we got something to sing about. We got something to be glad about. And we ought not come to church set, soak, and sour. We ought to come to church to get in. Amen. We ought to come and just make up our mind that we're here to worship the Lord. I'm going to tell you something. You get out of it what you put into it. And if you put prayer into it and you put thought into it and you've been asking God to do something, He'll do something for you. But if you haven't been seeking the Lord, don't be surprised if you're the same tomorrow as you was today. And when the meeting's over, you'll wonder why everybody else got excited. Why everybody else has got something to shout about and I'm still the same. It's because what you put into it is what you got out of it. Yes, sir. Amen. Well, it is good to be here. This is my first time to be here. And I've been anticipating this a long time since Brother Joe and I have talked. You often wonder how things are going to go first time you ever been to a place. And I heard a preacher one time say that if you get invited to go preach somewhere, that's a blessing. Amen, and it is. If you ever get a chance to go back second time, that's a miracle. There's probably a lot of truth to that as well. But it is a joy to be here. I've enjoyed Brother Joe. I'm talking. It's just been a blessing to my heart already. I've never seen anybody get excited about food like he does. I'm telling you, you can eat till you can't eat another bite and he'll start describing another food and you're hungry again. Amen. You've got to try it. You can't resist it after he tells you what it's all about. And I'm glad I don't live up here. I'd look like a blimp by the time I get done. Amen. I tell you, it's a blessing. But I've enjoyed it already. Enjoy the great hospitality and the friendliness. And it's just a blessing to be here tonight. And looking forward to what God has for us. Amen. Last night, we enjoyed what was happening. Enjoyed the graduation. Enjoyed the graduates. In a graduation like that, you can honestly say that they have graduated in the top two of their class. Nobody can dispute that. Amen. That's a great honor. It's a great honor. What a blessing it was to be a part of that. In the Bible tonight, take your Bible to the book of Matthew, chapter number 16. Matthew chapter number 16. Here in the Word of God, the Bible talks about the great statement that Peter said. And when the Lord asked, "Who do men say that I, the Son of Man, am?" Peter jumped out there and said, "Thou art the Son of God." Amen. And the Bible says here in beginning in verse number 21, I want you to look, Matthew chapter 16, verse 21. Notice the Bible says here, "From that time forth began Jesus to show unto his disciples how that he must go unto Jerusalem and suffer many things of the elders and chief priests and scribes, and be killed, and be raised again the third day." In the book of Mark, chapter number 8, we read in verse number 31. Bible says here, verse 30, "And they departed thence, and passed through Galilee. And he would not that any man should know it, for he taught his disciples, and said unto them, The Son of Man is delivered into the hands of men, and they shall kill him, and after that he is killed, He shall rise the third day. But they understood not that saying, and were afraid to ask him. In chapter number 10, verse 33, again we read, "Behold, we go up to Jerusalem, and the Son of Man shall be delivered unto the chief priests and unto the scribes, and they shall condemn him to death, and shall deliver him to the Gentiles, and they shall mock him, and shall scourge him, and shall spit upon him, and shall kill him, and the third day he shall rise again." And then in Luke chapter number 9, I want to read one more passage. I want you to see something here. Luke chapter 9 and verse 51, the Bible says, "And it came to pass when the time was come that he should be received up, he steadfastly set his face to go to Jerusalem." Our Heavenly Father, Lord God, tonight we thank you, Lord, for the great singing that we've already heard. Thank you, Lord, for the great spirit that we feel here tonight and the fellowship that's been a blessing, Lord, already. But God, Lord, tonight we thank you, God, for every talent and every ability. But we know the Word of God says that you chose the preaching of the Word of God to change lives. The foolishness of preaching to touch hearts and to make a difference in people's lives. And Father, tonight, God, we pray that you'd bless the preaching. We pray that you'd bless the Word of God. And we pray, Lord, tonight that those that are here will get what they need from the Lord. Lord, there are many needs here tonight. There are many trials, many burdens, no doubt. And I pray, God, that you'd meet the need, that when we leave this place, we'll be able to glorify God and thank God for what He's done. And this week would be a week, and this revival would be a time of revival, that we can look back from time to time and for many days ahead and say, right there is where God touched my heart. That week, those few days made a difference in my life and helped me to go on. We thank you, Lord. We'll praise you for everything you do. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. We read these verses of Scripture here, and all the way through them, we read about the fact that the Bible said that Jesus began to teach them and began to tell them that He was going to Calvary, that He was going to Jerusalem, that He would be scourged, that He would be killed, that He would be spit upon. We read in one place where the Bible said that they didn't understand all of that. They couldn't comprehend all of that was taking place. And the Bible says, as we go through there, that again and again and again, He reminded them of why He came. He reminded them of what He had come to accomplish. And the Bible said that He set His face steadfast to go to Jerusalem. Now, we know tonight from reading the Word of God that, thank God, He did go to Calvary. And thank God, He did die on the cross for our sin. Thank God, He paid the price. Amen. We can rejoice today. We can shout the victory. We can give God the glory for what He's done. He went to Calvary. Listen, I'm glad that God, the Bible said, so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. I'm telling you what a great love God had for sinners. Amen. What a great love that God had that He would give His only begotten Son. And the Bible talks about that, reveals His heart. I know that we read about in the Scripture, the Bible said He raised the dead. The Bible said that He healed the sick. He touched the lepers and they were cleansed and made whole. The Bible says that He touched the blinded eyes and those that were blinded were able to see. He fed the multitudes with just a few fish and loaves of bread. But I want you to know, thank God, He did all those things. And we can rejoice that He done all those things. But He came to go to Calvary. I'm glad that He touched lives. I'm glad that He made a difference. I'm glad that Peter could say, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. But I want you to know there was something driving him to Calvary. There was something that kept him moving forward to that day when he would die upon an old rugged cross. I believe the sins of men were a part of what drove him to Calvary. I'm glad tonight to be able to stand and preach the blessed King James Bible and tell you that Jesus came to die for sin. Jesus came to die for sinners. That Jesus came to pay the price. I'm glad he raised the dead. I'm glad he touched lives. I'm glad he did miracle after miracle after miracle. But he came to take care of the sins of all mankind. He came to, because of the sentence that was placed upon a lost and dying sinner. There's still a place called hell. Amen. There's still a place where men die that go without God, and there's no peace. There's no getting out. There's no water, the Bible says, and still says it's a place of torment. There was something driving him to Calvary to suffer and to give himself. Well, I'm glad tonight he gave himself. I'm glad that with, like Paul, we can say, I'm crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the faith, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. I'm glad that he died. I'm glad that he paid the price. Amen. He came to destroy the works of Satan. Boy, what a difference it would be. What if he hadn't come? What if he hadn't made that trip to Calvary? What if he stopped at healing those that were sick? What if he stopped at just walking on the water? What if he came short by just feeding a few multitude with fish and with bread? What if he stopped and said, I don't think I can do this. I think it's a little different now. I don't think I can go. What if he'd have done that? I'll tell you, we'd all be lost today. We'd have no song to sing. We'd have nothing to shout about. We'd have nothing to be glad about. We'd have nothing to rejoice about. But I'm telling you, I thank God Almighty, he died and he paid the price and he rose again the third day. Amen. Sometimes we forget what the Lord has done. We're a forgetful people. We get busy with life. We get to going here and going there. And we forget what the Lord has done. We forget the price that he paid. And we live our life as though that he has just an average a Christian. And we live our life, but we don't realize what he's done for us. We live a life enjoying the salvation that he provided for us. The blessing of family. The blessing of health. The blessing of a church to come and fellowship together and rejoice together and love God together and be happy together. We forget sometime what all he's done for us. I want you to see today, this evening, that again and again as we read through the scriptures, the Bible said that he was going to go to Jerusalem, that he was going to be killed, that he was going to be buried and rise again the third day. Nothing kept him from doing what God wanted him to do. Nothing kept him from doing that which is the will of God for his life. And I'm telling you, it drove him. It was something that was stuck in his craw. It was something that motivated him. It was something that moved him. And he never lost sight of going to Calvary. It drove him to the cross. You and I drove him to the cross. Our sins drove him to the cross. The price that needed to be paid, knowing we couldn't pay it. None of us could buy our way to Calvary. None of us could buy our way to heaven. None of us could redeem our soul from a devil's hell. Amen. Christians today need to be driven back to the cross. That's what revival's all about. There may be some here tonight. Hey, listen, on the outside you look good. You come to church with a suit and tie, and you look very Christian. But I wonder how many hearts are drifted away tonight. I wonder how many have gotten away, and you need to go back to Calvary. You need to go back to the cross and be reminded of what the Lord's done for you. You need to go back to the place when God saved you. Do you remember the day God saved you? You remember where you was at? You remember the life that you lived? You remember the condition that you were in? Boy, we need to remember that. We need to be reminded. The songwriter said, years I spent in vanity and care and pride, not caring not my Lord was crucified, knowing not it was for me He died at Calvary. Well, I'm telling you that sometimes it slips our mind and we get caught up in the world. We need to get back. I'm telling you that's what revival's all about. It's getting back to the place where God saved us. Getting back to the place where God touched us. Getting back to the place where He made a difference in our heart and life. Amen. You know, a lot of times in our life we get to the place where we don't mean to, but we drift away. We get to the place where we take for granted our salvation. Amen. We're saved. I believe we're saved forever. The Bible said He gave us eternal life. Amen. I don't believe I can lose it. Not for a moment. But sometimes if we're not careful, we'll forget what God has done. We'll take for granted what God has done. Maybe tonight there's some that have drifted out of fellowship with the Lord. Your life has got way too worldly, got too much of the world hanging off of you. Too many things that's going on that God would not be pleased with. I'm saying tonight there needs to be a drive inside of us to get back to Calvary. To get back to the place where He saved us. To get back to the place where He redeemed us and washed us from all of our sins. Amen. I'm telling you what a blessing it is to remember what Jesus has done. Nothing detoured Him. Nothing got Him off track of what He was supposed to do. He reminded them, though they didn't realize it, that He came to die. That He was going to be buried and rise again the third day. He never got away from that. And in the Bible, you read many, many times where the Bible would say, He would say, mine hour's not yet come. Mine hour's not yet come. The hour's not here yet. He knew what He came to do. He knew why He had come. He knew why that He'd become flesh. God in the flesh. He came to die. And I'm telling you tonight that nothing could detour Him. Nothing could get Him away from what God wanted Him to do. And I'm saying tonight, here's something we need to consider, that we need to get back to the place where we're driven to Calvary. Where we're moved back to a place of surrender. We're moved back to a place where God is doing something in our heart and life. You can't live off yesterday's blessings. You need the blessings of today. We need the blessings up for tomorrow. We need the touch of God in our services. We need the touch of God in our preaching. We need the touch of God in our witnessing. Amen. Our church needs to have a touch of God. That when you walk into the place, you can sense of the Holy Ghost of God beginning to work and stir the hearts and lives of men. There needs to be a driving back to Calvary. And I want to suggest a few things that'll help us to get to Calvary. I want to say this. I believe the desperation and the effects of sinful living will drive you back to Calvary. Look at what sin has done. Look what sin is doing. That young boy in Luke chapter 15, he said, Father, give me the portion that falleth to me. And the Bible said he went out and he wasted his substance with riotous living. You remember what happened? The effect of that sinful living, the effect of that bad decision. He wound up in a hog's pen. And the Bible says there he came to himself. Brother, I'm going to tell you, sin is robbing people tonight. Sin is robbing churches tonight. Sin is robbing homes and marriages and young people tonight. And we need to understand, we need to go back to Calvary when we see the desperate lives that are ruined and destroyed by sin today. I think sometimes we look at people, but you got to remember where you were. You remember what kind of life you lived before you got saved? Where you used to go? What you used to be? Aren't you glad you're saved tonight? Amen. Sin brought him to a place of hopelessness. Sin had brought him to a place of emptiness. Sin had brought him to a place where he was penniless. Had nothing. Wasted it all on riotous living. Now I'm telling you tonight, when you look around and see the desperate lives of people that have wasted their lives on drugs and alcohol and ungodly, wicked living, brother, it ought to drive you to Calvary in prayer, drive you to Calvary in hope that God will do something through your life and keep you in the place where you need to be to touch people's lives. He said, "How many hired servants of my father's have bread enough and to spare?" And he said, "I perish with hunger." Oh, listen, there's people out here tonight outside these doors that are desperate. I've never seen the day in which we live in our area where people are just taking their lives. They think that there's no reason to live. Young people committing suicide. It just alarms me. I started driving a school bus back in September of last year. I had been driving about the third day. And every day there was a small sixth grader that got on the bus about yay tall. And on that fourth day of school, word got around that young man had hung himself. What would make a sixth grader hang himself? What would make a person take their life? What would make a young person that has everything before him in life that's zealous and good? What would make... I'll tell you what it is. Desperate lives. Man, it ought to drive us to Calvary when we see what sin is doing to people's lives. We all tonight maybe can think of somebody that used to be in church and used to be serving God and used to be everything that God wants, but they're not there now. They got into a place of desperation and it got them out of God's will. Amen. Oh, it ought to drive us to Calvary. It ought to drive us to the place where our heart is broken. I'll tell you something else I believe that will drive you to Calvary and look to the Lord, and that's the constant state of defeat of many, many Christians. We serve a God who conquered death, hell, and the grave. We serve a God that, listen, the Bible said He not only died and was buried, but the Bible said He said He would. The Bible said He rose again the third day. He's alive. And yet you look in the churches all across America, and Christians are defeated. Defeated in their lives. Defeated in their heart. Defeated in their homes. Defeated in their marriages. I'm talking about folks that are defeated in their living. Oh, it ought to drive us to Calvary. You don't have to be defeated. You don't have to be whipped by the devil. Amen. We're on the winning side. I've read the back of the book and we win. Got everything to live for. We got everything to rejoice about. Years ago when I was in school, and we used to have arithmetic class. Now they call it math, but we call it arithmetic. And in our arithmetic book, in the back part of the book, all of the answers to the odd numbers was there. Whatever assignment you was in chapter 5 or chapter 6, whatever it is, you could go to the back of the book and 1, you'd find the answer, and 3, you could find the answer, and 5, you could find the answer, and 7. Man, I'd get all them answers right. But I couldn't get 2. I couldn't get 4. I couldn't get 6. Amen. The teacher knew that I had been looking the back of the book. And I'm telling you, I've looked in the back of that book right there. I know how it's going to end. Jesus is coming back. Amen. Jesus paid the price. I'm on the winning side. I don't have to be defeated. I don't have to walk around with the mully grubs. Down where I'm at, sometime we'll have a testimonial service. I like testimonial services. People get up and brag about what Jesus has done, and inevitably, there's that dear old saint gets up and says, pray for me. I don't know if I'm going to make it or not. I just don't know if I'm going to get through. And by the time they get done testifying, you want to take a knife, cut her throat and yours too. Amen. You wish there was a trap door. You could push a button. There she goes. Defeated. I'm telling you, there are a lot of trials in life. There's a lot of heartache in life. And unfortunately, there's a lot of tears. But we don't have to let it defeat us. I'm telling you, the Bible says it came to pass. My dad used to tell me that. He said, son, remember, it always comes to pass. Remember, it never came to stay. It'll come to pass. Your troubles will come to pass. Your heartaches will come to pass. Your tears will come to pass. Your heavy burdens will come to pass. And that night of midnight trial will come to pass. Amen. And I've read the back of the book. We've got the right answers. We got the right God. Amen. We got the right way. And yet we're defeated in this country. Amen. We're defeated in our prayer life. Many Christians are defeated in the fellowship with God, the fellowship with the church. Folks are defeated in their faithfulness. It's not as faithful as they are. They walk around defeated. Woe is me, singing the blues. What happened? They need to get back to Calvary. They need to be driven back to the place where God saved them. You know, I didn't realize it, but when I started driving that old bus, I was saved on South 7th Street in Duran, Oklahoma. Little old white house. And every day, the route they put me on, I go by that house 2 times a day. And when I go by that house, I tell you, it don't matter how loud them kids can get, and how mischievous they can get, and how downright. Kids are different today than they was in the 70s. You can't paddle old Mises through. They'd whip you with a paddle. Did they do that here? Maybe not, but they did that where I was at. If they'd bring the paddle back, we wouldn't have as much rebellion in the kids that we have. Bring a little licking back. Amen. It'll help them. I drive by that house, no matter how tough the day has been. No matter how many problems at the church, I look over at that little house on South 7th Street, and the Lord said, that's where you got saved, right there. That's where it happened. And my mind drifts back to that day. Man, I was raised in church. I knew all the lingo of church. I knew how to act in church. I knew how to sit in church. I knew all the things to do in church, but I was lost. And preacher would get up and preach a message, and he'd give an invitation and say, if you're saved, hold your hand up. And I'd raise my hand up, but my hand and my heart couldn't agree. There was misery. Something was gone. I was defeated in every way. I'd go to Mama. I said, Mama, am I saved? She said, oh, yeah, you got saved back here. And I remember that. I remember that going down to prayer. And she said, you got baptized. I remember that. And preacher would ask that question. I'd raise my hand. There wasn't nothing there. But I remember that day when my hand and my heart got on the same page. Amen. I remember that day when I got saved. What a blessing it was. Listen, if you're defeated tonight, I'll tell you where you need to go. And it ain't Walmart. It ain't the Blue Light Special. It ain't down to the ball fields. It ain't down to the soccer fields. It ain't down to the football field. It ain't down to the roller skating rink. I'm telling you where you need to go. It's to Calvary. Take a look again at what He's done for you. Look at the blood that was shed, that cleansing blood, that power of the blood that saves from sin. Amen. If we can get driven back to Calvary in the days and times of defeat, it won't be long. We'll have the victory again. The Bible said in the book of Romans chapter 8 verse 37, we're more than conquerors through Him that loved us. 2 Corinthians chapter 2 verse 14, the Bible says, thanks be to God which always causeth us to triumph in Christ. I'm saying as Jesus had made up His mind, as Jesus had never let things deter Him, even though He walked on the water and raised the dead and made differences in people's lives, His goal was to get to Calvary. And that ought to be our goal tonight. To get back to the place where God saved us. Get back to the place where there's help. Get back to the place where there's power. Amen. You don't have to live another day in defeat. The answer is at Calvary. It's amazing of the lives of people that have been changed down through the years because of what He's done for us. We don't praise Him enough. We don't thank Him enough. And I'll tell you another place we need to be driven to Calvary, and that's the devastations of life. There's devastating things going on in our country right now. I'm talking things that are just tearing people up. Homes and lives. Devastating. I just have one grandbaby. I'm fixing to have another. My youngest is fixing to have her second. My oldest daughter and her husband, they've tried and tried and tried. And they can't have one. They're doing everything they can, doctors, whatnot, and it looked like it maybe some things would help. Long story short, one of the things that grieves her heart, she wants to be a mama. And I can't tell you the times that she's come to me and said, Daddy, how come I can't have a baby? Why don't the Lord let me? In my mind to go back, I think about Hannah. And think about Rachel and all those in the Bible that were barren, and God touched that barren womb. And I'm thinking, God, You're the same today, yesterday, and forever. And then we'd hear of things that people would have an unwanted baby, and they'd give it away or abort them and just rip your heart out. She's a nurse. Her husband are nurses. And she came home and I wrote this down. She told me. She said there's a woman that was going to have her first child. Everything was looking good. The child began to grow in the womb. But as it began to grow in the womb, they discovered that it didn't have a brain. Something happened that it didn't have a brain. It wasn't developing. Everything else seemed like come along just fine. And they brought that information to that mother and told her that even if it was born, it's not going to make it. And they had a choice to make whether to abort it or to have it. She said, I'm going to have it. The day came that that baby was born and she got to hold that baby in her arms for one day and then she had to say goodbye to it. I'm telling you, that's devastating. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. I don't understand why things like that happen. But I'll tell you, it ought to drive you to the cross. Why is it that troubles drive people out in the world to the church and God, and troubles drive people in the church to the world? There's no help in the world. There's no help in what the world has to offer. Our help's at Calvary. Our help's at the cross. Our help where Jesus can help us. Why would you shake your fist at God? Why would you get angry with God and say, God, You did this? I'm raising children by myself. My husband's left me. I don't understand that. It's devastating. But I know one thing, it ought to drive us to Calvary. Burdens are lifted at Calvary. Some of you sitting here tonight, you've got a burden that nobody can see. Behind that smile, there's a broken heart. Behind that laughter, there's a broken heart. I'm telling you tonight, that burden, that heaviness in your heart can be healed at Calvary. He can fix it. When life's devastating. He knows what to do. He knows what to say. I don't know why. But I know this, there'll be a day when we do. It ought to drive us to Calvary. At the foot of Calvary is where we find help, healing, hope. We serve a great God. He's able. Our mom and daddy are both gone now. They both, mama died last June. Daddy died about 4 or 5 years ago. Dad had that Alzheimer, dementia and all that kind of stuff. And we grew up a singing family. I tell you, this singing around here is absolutely wonderful. I can hear the parts. I don't know how I can hear it, but I can hear it. The highs and the highs and the lows and the lows and the middles in the middle. I love it. I mean, when you have talent like that, that was beautiful the way that I was singing. It was beautiful. We grew up learning them parts like that. My dad, he'd get so excited. We'd get up and sing a song, and he'd start talking about the song. He'd get so caught up in the song, he'd turn to us and say, "What are we singing?" He'd forget the name of the song, but he loved the message of the song. He said, "Boys, it don't matter how good you can play. It don't matter how talented you are. If your song ain't about Jesus, you ain't got no song." We was in the hospital room there in Comanche County, Lawton, Oklahoma. Mama, she lost her eyesight because of diabetes. It was a sad deal, but she's sitting there right next to Dad. And he was in a coma. We thought we was going to lose him. We did lose him about 4 months later. But this was the first real scare that we had about it all. And he'd gone into a coma and we didn't know what was going on. Doctor said to talk to him. They said, "Speak to him. Let him hear your voices." And the reason behind that was is that even though he could not respond to us, he could hear us and know who we are. So we just started talking. You know, looks like we'd have a conversation. My brothers would get up, "Dad, you remember this?" My sister would get up, "Dad, remember that?" And about that time, Mama says, "Boys, sing." We're in a hospital room. People running to the nurse's station's right there. Our door's open. And Mama's blind. She said, "Boys, sing." Well, I'm the oldest boy. And they all look at me. I got two brothers and a sister. The first brother. We're all doing this sign language, you know, like real Indians. And I didn't know what to do. A hospital ain't a place to... I said, "Mama, a hospital ain't a place to sing." But I tell you, we grew up singing when troubles came and trials came and heartache came. It seemed like God gave us a song. And we leaned on that for years. We grew up like that. I said, Mama, these people are the nurses here, doctors here. She said, "I said sing." Now, I'm going to tell you, when Mama does that like that, I don't care if you are 60 years old, you start singing. You'll find a song to sing when Mama says, "Mark Otis." But when she uses your middle name, you know you better get her done. Say amen right there. So I said, "Okay, Mama." We took off down here. My burden's heavy and the road is rough and long. Sometimes my feet get weary and so sore. my brother, sister, there's a brighter day a-coming. Soon I'll step on heaven's shore, and I won't have to worry anymore. Well, about that time, it seemed like that somebody stepped in that hospital room. And I'm telling you, all the troubles that we had and the heartache that we had and disappointment, didn't know what's going to happen. I'm telling you, for a few minutes, I'm telling you, that defeat, that devastation in our lives seemed to disappear. I won't have to worry when I reach the... I'm going to tell you, even though he's gone, I'll see him again. Amen. Won't have to worry when I reach the other shore. All my troubles will be over and I'll rest. I'm telling you, God knows. I'm telling you the truth. I'm telling you the truth. My hand up in air. I'm telling you, we started hearing that tenor voice. I'm telling you, come out of that coma and started singing with us. I thank God we got some help. Amen. He did. He came out. We heard that voice. He woke up. He said, where'd you go, Calvary? He's the dearest friend. He ain't never let us down. I don't know what you're going through. I don't know what you've got to face. But we're all here for a reason. Sing. Rejoice. Go to Calvary. I'll tell you the last thing I believe is important about driving you to Calvary and staying there. And that's the fact that the day of His coming is almost here. How in the world could we not be closer now than we've ever been before? He's coming. I don't know the day. I don't know the hour. But I know He's coming. And when He comes, I'll see Mama again. And I'll see Daddy again. I'll see loved ones again. I'll see Brother Souter used to sit over here. And Brother Miss Bennett used to sit there. Miss Louise Carroll used to sit there. People I've pastored for years. I'll see him again. Amen. Bro, I'm telling you, I ought to drive you to Calvary. You ought to be thanking God today that we're going to a place where there's no more death. There's no more devastation. There's no more defeat. Amen. There's no more disappointment. And there'll be no more devil. Jesus told him, the Bible said He taught him, the Son of Man's going to Jerusalem. He's going to be killed. And He's going to rise the third day. Of all the miracles that He did, of all the places He went, of all the lives He touched, it never detoured Him from where He's headed. And I'm telling you tonight, these things that I've tried to talk to you about will drive us to Calvary. And loved ones, today, if it drives you away from Calvary, there's something wrong. There's something wrong. Maybe you're here tonight and you've drifted. You've hid it. But there's things in your life. I'm going to tell you something. Revival is not... And hear me what I'm going to say. Revival is not effort of getting people saved. That's the result. Revival is for the church. Revival is for you. And when you and I are revived and we get back to Calvary and our lives is renewed and our hope restored and our the blessings of God are once again ours, then we can tell others about Jesus and we'll see folks. Does that make sense? Maybe you're sitting here tonight, a broken marriage, a broken home. Disappointed, devastated that it didn't work. A relationship that fell apart. I'm telling you, go to Calvary. Maybe you're here tonight and you're like me. You was raised in church. You heard the gospel many, many times. But you never made that choice like I did. I thought all along I was all right. But I'm glad the Holy Ghost of God touched my heart one day and said, you can't go by what Mama says. You can't go by what the baptismal waters say. You can't go by how you feel. You go by what you know. And I thank God that day I can take you within 2 feet of where I got saved. Maybe you're here tonight. You've got a burden. Trials. Financial problems. Family problems. Why don't you let it drive you to Calvary? Why don't you let it drive you to the cross? Why don't you come down here at this old altar and say, oh God, I'm tired of bearing this burden. Lord, I'm tired of this sickness. Lord, I just don't know if I can go another step. Would you please, folks, that's what revival's all about. There's no telling how many's hurting here tonight. There's no telling how many need a touch of God that you're only going to get at Calvary. Let Him help you. Let Him touch you. He's a friend. He's the dearest friend I've ever had. Let it drive you to Calvary. With all these homes here and all these young people, these young families, boy, it's easy. The devil's after you. He wants to destroy you, get you out. Get you cold. Get you to compromise. Why don't you get to Calvary tonight and say, oh God, don't let us go that way. Don't let us drift that way. Don't let us lean that way, God. Let us be faithful. Amen. That's what's on my heart tonight. Jesus never let things in His life deter Him what He came to do. He went through the suffering, the pain, the agony. And rose again the third day. Gone away to prepare a place for us. My, 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 what is it going to be when we get there? Let's get to Calvary. That's where revival's at. That's where the blessings are at. Let's bow our heads.